Well, good afternoon. You guys doing okay? You guys enjoying yourself here at All Access? Awesome, awesome. Well, my name is Chris Pipes, and I'm here on staff at C3 Church, and I already got it recording. I'm like almost... I am an overachiever. I'm sorry. Let's give our interns a big, big round of applause for being on it. From Celebration Church down in Jacksonville, Florida. A little shout out to Pastor Stovall. You guys have awesome interns. Thank you so much. All right. Well, it's great to have you all here, and I hope you're enjoying yourself. And today, I'm going to be talking about assimilation. And what's cool about talking about getting people plugged into ministry is that's really what we want to help people do, is take that step from the street to the seat, right? We want people to experience life as a believer and use all the gifts and talents that they have in them and that God has created them to be. And so I hope that today's session will just encourage you, inspire you. I do not promise that all of this will be brand new. Some of this is going to be like, yes, okay, we're doing that, or that's a new idea, or that's a different approach. And but I definitely know that if you've got any questions, I'm going to leave some room at the end, hopefully, if I don't speak too long, if you have any questions. And then beyond that, I just put my business card on the seat. If you guys want to contact me after the conference, please feel free to do that, either by phone or email. I'm really good at returning both email and phone calls as soon as possible. I believe that is part of the ministry, is to do that. And I'll explain why in just a minute when it comes to assimilation. But let me open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started. God, just thank you so much for All Access. We thank you for the opportunity, God, to be a part of such a great movement. I thank you for all the ARC churches that are represented, and even those, Lord, that are checking out the ARC. And for the very first time, I pray for the ministers and the volunteers and the staff that are here in this room right now. God, I ask you just speak through me. God, let it not be my words, but let them be your words, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Well, find a seat. Hey, a little quick introduction about myself. I am a West Coast transplant. How many of you are from the West Coast and have transplanted out to the East Coast? All right, just a few of us. Well, we've come to God's country, and North Carolina became my home about 3.5 years ago, and I was on staff at an awesome church in Southern California for almost 12 years, was the junior high minister for a few years, and then kind of evolved into the worship pastor and did that for a solid 8 years, and just was blessed beyond belief with the opportunity to be a part of a church that grew from about 1,500 to almost 10,000 by the time I left. And you're probably asking, why did you leave? God made me leave. I wasn't fired. I didn't quit. It just was God did a stirring in my spirit, and it was time to go and do a new work. And if any of you are in that place, let me tell you, it's okay to be in that place, because that's where you step out and trust in the Lord and let him move you into some new things. And I knew that God had other gifts and abilities in my life to use rather than just sing. And so I wanted to see what was out there. And within a couple weeks of resigning, met Pastor Matt through a friend, and we hit it off, and out I came. And he actually hired me as a worship minister and family minister at that time, kind of doing double duty. And then within a few months, it just transitioned and evolved into creative arts minister. And then I did that for 1 year. And then our staff began to jumble and shift around. And then all of a sudden, care ministry. I was like, okay, God, am I getting my wish? And he had placed in my lap an opportunity to do a ministry that I believe the last couple years of my life has just been tremendous. And if you're in that place of what you would do, like pastoral care or connections or even small groups, and I know we all probably have different roles in our church, either on staff or you're a volunteer. What we do at church is we care for people. The minute they walk in the door, all the way into receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then beyond that, we care for them. And so I'm now very passionate, not just passionate about worship. For years and years, that was my passion. That was the only focus I had. But now I just see beyond that and say, you know, I'm here to care for people and help them take their next step. So assimilation, I really almost don't like that word because it sounds like the Borg from Star Trek. And so I'm not going to assimilate people into the Borg, but I want to lead people to their next step. So that could be just another title that you can put for assimilation, is leading people to their next step. So let's talk about what is assimilation. The process, it's a process used to encourage your first-time guests to continue coming back. How many say amen to that? Until they see and understand God's power, accept Jesus as their Savior, and commit themselves to the local church through membership. That's our goal. It's a process used to encourage your first-time guests to continue coming back until they see and understand God's power, accept Jesus as their Savior, and commit themselves to the local church through membership. We want people to not just sit in the seats and do nothing. We want them to experience the gospel, as we heard earlier, right? We want them to understand what love is. We want to understand what God's power is. We want them to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That is our goal. And then, but not just receive Him as Savior, but then to work it out, right? We got to work out our own salvation, and we do that through ministry and do that through serving, and so we want them to commit themselves to local church. Let me ask you a question. What is the standard of success when it comes to reaching and discipling newcomers? Well, I believe that it's found in Matthew chapter 28. 19 and 20, that's the Great Commission. Therefore, go into all the world, right? Preach the gospel and make disciples. So I'm in the discipleship making business. And all of us should be thinking of ourselves as disciple makers. I do a lot of counseling now, which when I took on this role, I felt very ill-equipped. I'm going to sit down with you and talk about your problems. I got a lot of problems of my own. Can I share a little bit, you know? So I have somebody across the way, and they're pouring out their heart, and I'm like crying with them, and I'm like, I have no idea what to tell you. I'm crying right with you, man, you know? But I soon learned that it wasn't really me to be an expert, but to do what? To disciple them into the ways of the Lord. So I had to begin to like seek out different ways of getting myself equipped to disciple them. And so I went through some basic training in biblical counseling, and for some of you, that would be a great first step, and I can tell you about a great organization to do that. It's called NANC, National Association of Nouthetic Counseling, and basically, you just point people to the Bible, use the scripture to help them with their problems and their whatever the life situation they're going through. But whatever you need to be able to do counseling, helping people out, use the word. But we're in the discipleship-making business. But here at C3, and I'm going to share the process of how we assimilate people into the life of the church, okay? It's not through counseling, but I'm going to show you how we do it, and it's very simple. There's a great quote by W. Edwards Deming. He says, if you can't describe what you are doing as a process, you don't know what you're doing. Let me say that one more time. If you can't describe what you're doing as a process, you don't know what you're doing. So number one, have a plan and work the plan. You've probably heard that said before. Have a plan and work the plan. This conference didn't just happen overnight, okay? Our weekend services, what? They don't just happen overnight. We do a little bit of what? Planning. We have planning meetings, and we talk about the plan, and we schedule things out, and you might even be down to the minute, you know? Start this first minute into a song, it goes 3.5 minutes, and then the transition, that's 30 seconds. And, you know, we've learned how to schedule out a service. Same thing with the process of getting people discipled. You can't just let that happen by chance. You've got to have a plan. It's key to any successful endeavor. And when it comes to the church, we need to be prepared every week to help people assimilate into life of the church. There's a great quote by Andy Stanley, and I actually have this on my Facebook. It's my favorite quote because it says this. The church is a family expecting guests. So like this last couple days, we were a church expecting a lot of guests, people we'd never met before, people that we knew. We, you know, had special guests, people that were arriving, and we knew who they were, and it was all like a family reunion. But then it's like fun because now you're meeting new people, and it's like, oh, where are you from? Oh, wow, you're from Virginia, or wow, you're from Florida. That's really awesome. Well, we're doing that every week in our churches. We need to create that environment of, right, this, oh, awesome, what's your name? Great, let me show you to your seat. You know, this today was really fun for me because once I got my work done, I can just kind of roam and help people. And someone says, where's the annex? And I'm like, I will show you. I'm not going to point you, I'm going to show you. Let me walk with you. And then what's your name? Oh, nice to meet you. Where are you from? And taking just a moment to get to know them. Whether we have a long conversation or not, they're a guest in my house. right? And when someone comes into my house, I'm going to show them where the bathroom is. You know, I'm going to show them where they can hang their coat. I'm going to show them the best seat in the house. I'm going to ask them, would you like something to drink? Would you like to sit down? Now, my wife and I love to entertain. We love to have people over. And so I've learned this by being married. It's not something that I knew as a bachelor. Please, you know, come on in, man, blap down on the couch. We're going to watch some TV. You know, and for some people, you know, especially if they're family, you probably do that. But when you're always expecting a guest, the church, you got to prepare. I'm going to tell you a little story. My wife and I, we're not rich people, but we were on staff at a great church in Southern California that would love to go and stay in some really nice places. So when pastor says, we're going to get away for the weekend, I'm thinking, sweet, where are we going? Well, one year we went to the Ritz-Carlton. Now, if you've never been to the Ritz-Carlton, I'm going to tell you what you're missing, okay? Hopefully you'll get a chance to do that. So I've been able to do it twice, and each time has been exactly the same. And this is the little story. So we pull up. And I don't know if you know what the motto for the Ritz-Carlton is. This is the motto for the Ritz-Carlton. It says, we are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. There's an honor. There's a respect of people. So as soon as we arrived, we pull up. My car door opens automatically. I don't know. It was like out of somewhere, the car door opens up. And he says, the gentleman from California has arrived. I'm like, how does he know I'm from California? Because he looked at my license plate. He was attention to detail. And who are we welcoming to the Ritz-Carlton? My name's Chris. This is my wife, Debbie Pipes. Mr. and Mrs. Pipes have arrived. I mean, it was like that big, you know? I'm like, that's right. You know, I get out of my car. It's looking really dirty. They didn't care. And then they usher us inside to check us in. And, of course, they are just so taking care of my bags. I don't have to lift a finger. And I'm not used to being, you know, treated like that. Because in my house, I'm carrying all the luggage, right? And my wife says, get the luggage, okay. But later on that night, as we come down to go to dinner, the bellman says, Mr. and Mrs. Pipes, when will you be returning? And I'm like, was I wearing my lanyard from the All Access concert? You know? No, he remembered my name. And I was like, wow. Now see, that didn't happen by default. And all the employees of the Ritz-Carlton, they're trained on the importance of creating this welcoming atmosphere for each and every person who chooses to walk through their door. It doesn't matter what they look like. They're trained to even say, it's my pleasure to serve you. Okay? Now if you've been to the Ritz-Carlton, anybody? Ritz-Carlton? Have you had that same experience? It's the same at every Ritz-Carlton. Okay, their staff is empowered to represent their organization, listen to this, with the intrinsic pride it deserves. And they see the results in an unusually high repeat guest rate. Why do you think that is? Because they're all being treated like ladies and gentlemen. They're not being looked down upon about what they're wearing, about what they're driving. They're a guest at the Ritz-Carlton. And their business is sleeping. That's what their business is all about. Getting into bed and sleeping and getting up the next. I mean, I could go to, you know, what are you guys, anyone staying at the Sleep Inn? You can go to the Sleep Inn and sleep. You can go to the Ritz-Carlton and sleep. We're in the business of eternity. Come on. We're in the business of helping people get to be in eternity for all. I mean, forever and ever and ever to be with Jesus. We're in God's business. So assimilation is very important. Because we've got to see what we do is almost like a biblical hospitality through serving. And you've heard a lot this last couple days about serving and how the world, you know, is not going to respond to just our words, but they're going to respond through our love and through our service. I mean, Pastor Dino with Servolution, I mean, that was a powerful thing that we did in our church. But it's not just that one week that we did it. It needs to be this ongoing thing. So we need to think of ourselves is not just plugging people into spots, but welcoming them into the house and really valuing who they are, right? Valuing that they're there to experience God no matter where they're at in life, whether they're hurting, whether they're well, that they're there because God wants them to be there and we want to help them become all that that God wants them to be. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. So we want to have a plan and work the plan. Number two, keep the process simple. Keep it simple. Pastor Matt wants a simple church. Okay, and you've probably heard the book, Simple Church. Great book to look at. And we read it as a staff, and we looked at a lot of similarities and differences that we had. We like to keep things simple because we just don't like to crowd the calendar and have so much to choose from that people kind of go, man, I don't know what to do. So we keep a process very simple. And let me just share with you what we do. Our next steps at C3 are know God through salvation. You probably already knew that. Know God through salvation. Next one is be baptized by immersion. Grow through discovery classes, and I'm going to touch on each one, and I'm going to give them to you first. Grow through discovery classes, connect in small groups, and the last one is serve in ministry teams. So the first one, know God through salvation. That is our goal each and every week. We will always, 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 always offer an opportunity to pray the prayer and ask Jesus Christ in our heart every week. And you know, some weeks it's maybe more of a recommitment, but we still pray the prayer, sinner's prayer. And we find that we have some people doing it every week. And I call them, go, are you Catholic? you keep going, you know. But we want to help people understand that God is God's love is available every single week. So there's not one service that goes by unless we offer that. So knowing God through salvation. Baptism through immersion. Now, you may come from a different church background. We believe that the word baptism comes from the Greek. Okay, again, like Greg Surratt, not a theologian. But it means to be immersed. And Jesus went down into the water. He came up out of the water. So that's what we believe here. And sometimes we have some real fun theological conversations from folks that come from other churches, and we talk about it. And, you know, they're like, well, if you're telling me I have to be rebaptized, then, you know, and I'm like, whoa, hey, you don't have to do anything, you know. We're just letting you know sort of our process. And for us to be a member here, you have to have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, been baptized by immersion, and then take our first class, which is Discovery 101, which is our membership class. And that is a prerequisite to being a member. And I said, you don't have to do anything. I said, but you know, sometimes you get a point in your life with baptism, and maybe you have children that haven't been baptized, and maybe you were as a baby, or maybe you were sprinkled. Maybe this is a time just to renew that commitment to the Lord as a family. And I've actually had whole families, even some grown-ups, redo it. I go, no lightning's coming out of the sky if you re-baptized. It's not like you're going to be struck down dead. You can step up and say, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so I've had whole families do it and just say, this is a new season of ministry, a new life. And I mean, we all cry when we see whole families, dad and mom and kids, all get baptized together and join the church as one family. So that's what we believe. The next one would be growing through our discovery classes. We have four of them. Our first one's called Discovery 101, and that is our membership class. We talk about our vision, our strategy, our structure, what we believe in, you know, our essential beliefs, our non-essentials, our core values, how we're structured. We talk about the ARC and how we're partnered with all these great pastors, and we have a lead team, and we have an overseers and staff. And so we share all that, and then we give people an opportunity to join the church. 201 would be like our basics class, or we call it the habits of a disciple. You know, what does it take to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And so we talk about those things. And then 301 is where we actually have people take a personality profile and a spiritual gifts test to see how God has made them and wired them and shaped them. And it's interesting how a lot of people, they've taken personality tests probably for a job or maybe in college, but they've never taken a spiritual gifts test. And when you combine both of those, that knowledge, and you're like, wow, you know, God has shaped me in a very unique way. I'm not like him, and I should never compare myself to him. I am who I am. And people begin to discover that they're valuable. And they have some things to work on. I mean, yeah, we it's a lot of personality stuff, and you're like, man, I got some anger issues, or I'm too, you know, worried about details. It's got to be right, or I'm too laid back. But we combine that with the spiritual gifts, and man, people become alive. And then 401, we actually we kind of do a culmination of what they learn, what they did in 301. So they actually take the test in 301. 401, we kind of work it all out in some games. We actually have them play some games, and you see the personalities come alive. And each game is actually geared toward that personality to win, and it's fail-proof every single time. Whatever personality is supposed to win, they win, because that game is for that person, and it's hilarious. And we talk about how Jesus was all four personalities, choleric and sanguine and melancholy and phlegmatic, and then all the gifts of the Spirit are for today, but we're all given different gifts upon salvation, and it's just wonderful. And we've only been doing 201, 301, 401 since February. We just had the 101 class for years. We actually had a basics class for a while, but we took that away, and we just had membership. And our pastor said, you know what? It's time to implement these, because we really feel we need a growth process, a growth track for our church, for people to discover who they are in Christ. And in 201, we really talk about connect groups. We really talk about the importance of connect groups. And so in the 301, 401, we talk about ministry teams, because the next 2 points, right, in our next steps is what? Connect in small groups and serve in ministry teams. So in those discovery classes, we're already getting them thinking about connect groups and ministry teams. Number three. You guys doing okay?
Yes,
make first contact. Very important. Colossians 4:5 says, live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. So what I hear in that is every single person that signs a welcome card is my opportunity to impact the kingdom. Everyone. There is no wasted welcome card or response card. We call them welcome cards. The backside is a response time. But anybody that fills out a piece of paper, whatever you distribute in your worship service, they're important. Make the most of every opportunity. So this is how we use the welcome card. Everyone receives a worship program with a welcome card in it, and we also will give out a pen. We're changing pens because some of them were too expensive, so we're kind of shifting gears a little bit with pens. But we definitely make sure everyone has a worship program with a welcome card in it. Then everyone is invited to fill that out every single week. We don't just say, hey, visitors, fill out the card. No, we say, we'd like everyone to fill that out. So if you're a member, you're still filling one out so people next to you don't feel singled out. Then we ask everyone that has a next step to take it. You know what? Maybe you haven't taken 201. Maybe you haven't taken 301 or 401. Or maybe you need to be baptized. And you don't necessarily have to do them in that order. The only one you have to actually do in order would be 301 and 401 because of the tests. But some people that show up on a Sunday for the very first time, they've actually come to like a 301 class, like that night. You know, I was at church for the first time today, and I really liked the idea of taking a personality test and a spiritual gifts test. I thought I'd come. Awesome. We're not going to send them away. Now, if they were to show up 401, we wouldn't send them away either. We would just tell them, you might want to come back to 301 and take the test, but you're welcome to stay. So we don't make people go in order, but we just encourage them to come. The way we structure our classes, every Sunday night at 5 p.m., we have an incredible youth program that happens on Sunday nights at 5 o'clock, and this place is just hopping. We have our high school and our middle school meet, and then throughout the year, we have our kids do connect groups. We call them KCGs, Kids Connect Groups, and they're down here too. So it is a youth haven on Sunday night. So we thought, why don't we piggyback that and provide these classes at the exact same time so there is no excuse for childcare. Now, if they have real small children like babies and they're not old enough to be in those programs, we provide childcare for them. So the very first Sunday of every month is 101. The second Sunday is 201. Third Sunday is 301. Fourth Sunday is 401. And we then repeat it the next month. Now, we've been doing this for a few months. We had some real big months when we first started it. I mean, we had almost over 100 in every class, and it's kind of tapered down. So we're looking at, should we do it every other month? Should we do it once a quarter? We're going to figure that out. But we decided, let's get into a routine and just get into our culture. Every Sunday night, you show up, there's a class. and you can come and you can grow more in the Lord. Okay? Everyone places their welcome card in the offering bucket. Everyone. Doesn't matter. So that's how we make use of the welcome card, and we're going to make first contact. Number four, learn the art of follow-up. Everybody say follow-up. Follow-up. Ooh! This should be like part of your lingo. If you're responsible for connections in your church or caring for people or letting first-time guests know, follow-up is key. David Frey says, not following up is the same as filling up your bathtub without first putting the stopper in the drain. If you just try to fill up your bathtub and you haven't figured out how you're going to keep them, they're just going to wash right through. So there's some little cute things that I put here. Know the three F's of follow-up. What's the three F's of follow-up? The first one would be fast. Second one would be friendly. And the third one would be functional. You want to get on it fast. You don't want to wait a week to follow up. So whatever fast is to you, it could be that night. Your church might be small enough where you can actually take care of the follow-up that day. With our church size now and with our structure, we're not able to do it on Sunday. But our goal is to get all of those cards, all the input, put into what we call PDS. In fact, when you came and did registration, all those touch screens out there, we have a system called people-driven software. If you want more information, you can go out to the registration table and find out about that company. They're based in Cary. Am I doing a little plug for you? You're loving me right now, aren't you? What's your first name again?
Mark,
if you have any questions about people-driven software, just see Mark. Raise your hand, Mark. There he is. And we switched over, what, about a year ago, Mark? And it's been a great change for us. We were using a different software before that wasn't quite doing everything we needed it to do. And so we changed over, and we're still learning the bells and whistles that go along with PDS. But let me tell you, as the care pastor, I am thrilled with this system. So all the input goes into PDS, and then reports can be taken. All kinds of stuff can be done. Letters, emails, it's beautiful. So our goal is that phone calls, okay, not just letters, not just emails, phone calls will be made to everybody that has prayed to receive Christ, that has recommitted their life to Christ, or has asked for a call, a contact. And I have a team. I used to do this all myself until the list got really big, okay? And it jumped up, Mark, because once we got I was like, wow, okay? My phone list was now up to almost 80 calls a week, okay? And this was a variety of, first time, recommitment, personal, care ministry. But each minister has their own, so they may, on a response card, it might say, I'd like some information about kids ministry. Well, it goes into the system and goes to their homepage, and then they see the list of people they need to contact. It's beautiful. It's great. So you want to make sure that you're fast and you're friendly, all right? You don't want to just get on the phone and go, hi, my name's Chris. Heard you were at church on Sunday. You want people that are going to sound good on the phone. They're going to be able to answer questions the best of their ability. I've got some volunteers that have time during the week, and they like to do this. I mean, they actually get more blessed talking to people on the phone. And, I don't have to do it. Now, I like doing those calls, but I've now learned that I've got to delegate more out. So I now have a team of phone callers, and they love it. And they tell me, thank you so much for letting me do this. And I'm like, oh. Thank you. So even if you're small, I would get somebody to do that. Find a personality, find someone who has the time, they can get on it right away, and then make it functional for you, okay? Post-service follow-up. Soon as the service is done, we give a free gift. We have a bag. We have a mug in it. We've got a CD of a sermon. We've got goodies in there. I think a free cup of coffee to go along with it. And You want to give a free gift that day. So anybody that's new, brand new to the church, have a information table they can go to and pick up something. Then post-weekend follow-up. So they're getting a phone call, they're getting a letter, and they're getting an email. If you find that email is just as effective as a phone call, I think phone call, which is old school, is really the best way to go because they're going to go, who's calling? hi, this is Chris Pipes, Minister of Care at C3. I just want to give you a call. And it's like Tuesday, you know? Hopefully it's Monday, but Tuesday. That church down the street, 2,000 people, you calling me? I mean, I've had people actually like, they couldn't believe it. So if you're on your game and you're calling people, not just getting an email, not just getting a letter a few days later, they will be like, wow, I'm important. I'm important. Yes. Free gift and information table. I kind of put those together. So a free gift, have an information table so people can go and ask questions. And you want to put people at the table that are knowledgeable of the ministries. They might have different sign-ups for things. Like they can sign up at the information table for Discovery 101, 201, 301, 401. Now let me ask another thing. The website is a great way to also do all this thing. So we don't just limit it to the response card for sign-ups. We make that stuff available also online. So if they forget, right, and they go home, they're like, oh, I should have signed up for Discovery. Well, it's online, right? They can sign when they get home, or maybe they're thinking about it, not sure. They get home, you know, I really like to do it. Well, if a whole week goes by, and they might forget about that, might lose interest, make that available. So utilize your website. If you don't know how to do that, there's a lot of people here that do. And you can even call Jordan Lino, who's our Minister of Communications, and he'd love to help you out. Number five, and I want to get to some Q&A in just a few moments. Expect the second guest, right? We don't just want to hope for the first guest. We want to expect that they're going to come back. So when your guests return for a second look, they're checking you out, you've won 80% of the battle, gaining new regular attenders, and have drastically increased the chances that they will begin a journey with Christ. If they come back for a second time, it's most likely they're going to come back a third time. So you want to communicate with your second time guests. Now, we're not as good at this as I'd like to be. This is probably another step that is still not working well here. But no excuses, okay? So if you guys can think, how can we really communicate? Maybe it's a second-time guest box on your response card, so you know they're a second-time guest. Maybe a phone call to encourage deeper involvement. Whatever. It might be the same process that you did with your first-time guest, but I'm telling you, that second-time guest, there's interest there. And if you can hook them there, you probably have them, okay? So you want to expect the second-time guest. Number six, I like this, create sticky situations. Great quote from a pretty well-known pastor named Rick Warren. I don't know if you guys ever heard of him. Says, while some relationships will spontaneously develop, the friendship factor in assimilation is too critical to leave to chance. You can't just hope people make friends in the church. You must encourage it, plan for it, structure for it, and facilitate it. Not everybody's good at making friends. There's some people out there, I mean, they turn a corner, hello, and they got a friend for life. But we have a lot of people, they kind of come in and they're, you know, and you know what they look like, they're like this. You know, they kind of walk around and they're looking at signs. They're trying to find out where the bathroom is. And they're still like very, you know, not quite sure about this whole church thing. But you want to create environments, sticky situations. So one of them would be maybe having a fun event, a community event, something that's very low key, that doesn't really have a whole lot of churchy stuff that can be really fun. Those can be like a harvest festival at Halloween, just to get them on campus. They might be something at 4th of July, maybe at Easter. I know that one of our friends down in Wilmington, Jeff Capusta, they did this massive thing at Easter called the egg drop. They had a helicopter fly over this field, and they dropped, I don't know how many eggs, like 5,000. I don't know how many eggs it was. It was a crazy amount. Well, they're a church of 600, 700 people. They had 10,000 people show up to this deal. It's like a carnival. I mean, and I talked to Jeff. I said, man, you made the paper. He's like, dude, I don't know if we should do it next year because it'll just be like way big. I said, yes, you're going to do it next year. Something's missing in Wilmington. And you provided a place for people to experience love and fun in Jesus' name, right? So what were they Easter eggs? They came, right? And his attendance on Easter doubled. And now he's had some retention since then. And I'm like, he created a sticky situation, a fun event for people to check out Life Point Church. You can do the very same. It doesn't have to be on a big budget. It can be on a small budget. But just create a fun event. Another sticky situation can be connect groups. Again, we keep things simple. So we're always talking about connect groups. One of the ways that we care, actually the main way that we care for people, is through connect groups. So if Tony here is in a connect group and Tony has surgery this Thursday, okay, and Tony writes on a response card or calls into the church, hopefully he's communicating with us that he's having surgery, my very first question to Tony is, are you in a connect group? If Tony says yes, I'm like, awesome, who's your connect group leader? Cool. Have you let them know that you're going to have the surgery? And if he says no, then I'm like, you might want to do that. Now, after, I'm not going to leave it up to Tony. As soon as I get off the phone, I'm calling his connect group leader and email him, says, do you know that Tony's having surgery on Thursday? And then I'll let Randy Boucher know, who's our minister of connect groups, know as well, so that the word gets out that Tony's having surgery. Then I'll make sure that on my calendar, okay, Tony's having surgery. What does that do? What did I just create? I created follow-up. What else did I create? I created care. I cared about Tony. And I made church a whole lot smaller than probably what he felt. Now, if Tony did not let us know, okay, that is on him. But we're going to do whatever we can with whatever information that we know to care. Now, even if it was a post, I had surgery last. What are we going to do? We're going to follow up with Tony. How you doing, man? Is there anything we do? Can we do any meals for you? And then I would go to the connect group leader and says, make sure they're cared for. Make sure that his wife doesn't have to cook any meals for a week. Can you guys take care of that? Awesome. Let me know how that goes. Would you like that? Oh, yeah, I know she would. And I'll tell you, when we've dropped the ball on that, it's not pretty. So if you start something like that, just make sure that it's communicated throughout your whole church. This is how we care for our church. Now, if they're not involved in a connect group, what do you think my conversation is going to be about? You need to get in one. So whether it be in a connect group and then and or, okay, I'm going to say and or ministry team. Would we like everyone to be involved in a connect group and a ministry team? Absolutely. But some people are like, man, I'm just too busy. I can't do one night out a week, and then I'm serving on the weekend. I just don't have that time. Well, what can you do? Because a ministry team is also a small group. Now, many times a ministry team is focused on a task here at the church, parking, doing kids ministry. So there's not a whole lot of relating or sitting down doing a Bible study, but there's still a matter of community that happens in a ministry team. Our first touch teams, which would be like parking and greeting and hosting and ushering, I mean, they gather every Sunday morning and they huddle and they pray and they make sure there's community there. And Randy Boucher, our minister of Connect Groups, if you guys want to talk shop about Connect Groups, that man is passionate about Connect Groups. You could call him anytime. He will go to lunch with you. He will talk with you on the phone about connect groups because we just believe that's how we're going to continue to grow larger and grow smaller at the same time. We're going to be large enough to impact, but we're going to be small enough to care for people. Somebody say amen to that. I'm preaching now. Okay, last one. Encourage ownership. Encourage ownership. Responsibility and ownership go hand in hand. I think back to when I turned 16 and I asked my dad, so when am I going to get a car? And he's like, when you can pay for one. And I was like, I don't have any money. He goes, well, let's work out a deal. So my stepmother had a car and she says, you will purchase this car from us and you'll do monthly payments. Okay, never heard this done before. You know, all my friends were getting cars, and here I am buying my car from my dad. And I worked it out. It was going to like take 2 years, you know, because I was not making a lot of money at Kentucky Fried Chicken, let me tell you that. But let me tell you what I learned. I learned that once I made my last payment and I owned that car, I took good care of that car. I took good care. I owned that car, and I had responsibility. Now, I use that as an analogy. That if people just show up and there's no sense of ownership, they keep saying, man, you have an awesome church. And they've been here for 3 years and they're still saying, you have an awesome church. Do you think there's any ownership in their language? None. I love it when I hear them go from, man, you have an awesome church, to, we have an awesome church. And there's a sense of ownership. There's a sense of responsibility. And responsibility can be that catalyst that moves people from just being a regular attender to becoming a member. I love it when someone walks in the door and they're hurting and they're broken and all their focus and attention is on themselves. And we encourage them, you know what? You don't have to do all of this stuff before you start serving. Let's get you serving. And they're like, I'm not equipped. I'm really broken. Well, let's just find something for you to do. Do you know what happens when they begin to serve somebody else? Their focus and attention gets off of their problem and it gets focused on somebody else. And then pretty soon that problem situation, not that it wasn't bad in the first, but all of a sudden it just diminishes. And I love that. You know, I've seen it time and time again where someone comes in broken, hurting, and now they're like a leader of a ministry. They're not perfect. They still got struggles. They still got drama. How many know we got drama in the church, okay? We may not have a drama team, but we got drama. But that's okay. You know, we don't want perfect people. You know, Jesus said, don't go out and make perfect people. He says, go out and make disciples. And part of that discipleship process is encouraging them into that process of becoming a part of the life of the church. So you want to encourage membership through multiplying service opportunities. Anything and everything, like the Ark. This all-access conference was a service opportunity for people in our church. Come and serve. Come and park a car. Come and make coffee in the books, you know, in the cafe, or sell a book at a table. I have one lady, I'm not going to tell you who she is, but she's at one of our tables, and her husband is not quite saved yet. And I say that because he's going to be. He's not quite there yet. But she's here, she's serving, and she's believing God for her husband to come to know Jesus. And they're struggling, but she's here serving. And I went up to her and I high-fived her today. And I was like, I'm so proud of you. Because I've been watching their journey, you know. And I just know that through her faithfulness and serving, that her example to her husband, he's going to come to know God. And that's what it's all about, is giving people that service opportunities. Then we want to encourage membership through teaching. We don't want to just leave it up to chance, but Pastor Matt talks about becoming part of the life of the church almost in every part of his message. And then encourage membership through regular signups. One year, we did all of the discovery classes as the sermon. Pastor Matt actually preached membership. And then we says, now if you were here today, this was at the end of the service, if you were here today and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've been baptized by immersion, and you sat through the entire service, you are now a member. Right on the card. And that day, 500 people joined the church. So we did something out of the box. We'd never done that before. And just gave people so there was no excuse. Oh, I can't come out on Sunday night because I can't get childcare. I work. We gave it to them in the service. Do something out of the box. Provide it through regular signups. And let me tell you, it's going to be awesome. I don't know. I cannot see the clock back there, so I don't know what time it is. Quarter two. So we have, what, 5, 6, 10 minutes, or as long as you want to stay. But I'm going to open up for Q&A if you guys have any questions. Yes, Danny. The three R's of retention. Did I skip something? Oh, I did. Look at that. Return, relationships, and responsibility. Obviously, if they come back, that would be a retention. If they build a relationship, that's key. And then owning up, finding ownership, finding some responsibility. Awesome. Any questions about anything? Yes, right here.
Is it possible to get a copy of your welcome response card?
Yes. See me after. Yes, right back here.
Do you require the membership before serving?
No. The question is, for those of you listening, do we require membership before serving? We do not. But we encourage them at some point. Thank you. This man knows C3. There's probably going to be different places where, like a Sunday school teacher for kids. Okay, we're not going to just throw someone in there unless they've, well, first of all, we do all background checks on everybody that does anything with any of our children and youth. Okay? Yeah, there's entry levels like parking, greeting, you know, maybe ushering would be what we would call the shallow end. And then worship team, I mean, you can't sing on that stage until you've been a member at least 6 months. Okay, so that would be a deep end kind of ministry. But we don't discourage anybody from serving if they haven't been a member. Yes. They're two separate. And if you would like copies of our discovery stuff, I gave you my card. You may email me, and I will email you all of our stuff. Okay, instead of you giving it in paper form today, I can do it in document form and email it to you. So just email me directly and say, I would like to request. And, you know, the body of Christ, to me, we should share everything. Okay? And a lot of the stuff that we got, I'm going to give credit to Church of the Highlands because they were the ones, the model that we looked at. So if you want another great model, you can go to Church of the Highlands and check out how they do their growth track. We changed, obviously, the wording of some things and moved some things around to make it more our culture and our style. But pretty much what they have is what we have as well. And I would love to share it with you. Yes?
So how long, I just want to make sure I get this, how long is 101,
201, 401? In terms of time?
Yeah.
So 1 week. So 101, you'd come like on the first Sunday night of the month, and you would come at 5 o'clock, and our goal is to be done by 6:30. Sometimes it goes a little bit longer depending on who's teaching. Myself and Martha do a lot of co-teaching, but we're also raising up staff and some lay volunteers that have the teaching gift. Okay, we're not going to be afraid. And of course, they're going to be high-level volunteers. It's about an hour and a half to 2 hour class, depending on what we're doing. Yes.
You talk about, fun events, community events.
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious if y'all do those types of things very often and how you mesh that with the simple church model.
Yeah. Not as often, as probably other churches would. Like, we don't have something every single month. We're very strategic on what kind of events we'll do. Like, we did a chick night, last spring, and the ladies all have they have the fun stuff. Martha we pull out all the stops. We had Christine Kane from Hillsong here, and she spoke, and we filled our worship center with 2,000 women. And so it was a great opportunity for ladies to bring their friends from work or school or whatever and come hear this awesome speaker, and a lot of ladies got saved that night. So we've done things like that, you know, I think you have to really look at your calendar. Don't fill it up too much, especially if a simple church model, and just be very strategic. And then, plus, when we do an event, it's all hands on deck. And what I mean by that is there's no silos. Children's ministry is not like, okay, we're not going to be at that event. No, they're figuring out how can we partner to make that event the best event it can possibly be. So, that's the way the flow here. Any other questions? Awesome. Did you guys have a great time today? Feel free to stick around. I'll be here to answer any questions you have. Thanks for coming.